sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? I am Sean Sears, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Head to RockAuto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you. Well, on today's episode, the Cubs make it 3 wins in a row, beating the Reds again Tuesday night 8-5. We'll recap another great offensive performance, as well as an excellent start from Alec Mills in the first segment. And then we'll preview Wednesday night's matchup featuring rainy NL Player of the Week Kyle Hendricks on the mound, plus another update on the Marlins' COVID outbreak and the MLB's response. Today's episode is brought to you in partnership with CubsInsider.com. Head to CubsInsider.com to read all about this Cubs 8-5 win over the Reds, as well as check out some of the new Cubs-related podcasts, as well as Growing Cubs, the prospect podcast they have there as well, along with The Rant, hosted by Evan Altman, John Furlies, and then Danny Rocket as well, a live Facebook live show they do just about daily. But head to CubsInsider.com, official partner of Locked On Cubs. You can get Locked On Cubs in whatever podcast app you use. And make sure when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Cubs for all the great content. And then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. So, in this first segment, as I talk about the Cubs win over the Reds 8-5, led this game throughout. It wasn't necessarily in question until towards the end, kind of. The bullpen did give up some more runs once again. We'll touch on that in the second segment a little bit, but taking a look at this, the Cubs obviously win 8-5. The scoring starts in the third inning, but let's highlight Alec Mills first, who went 6 innings, 2 hits, just 2 earned runs, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. The 2 earned runs came off a 2-run shot from Nick Castellanos, who gets back on the Cubs a little bit. But Mills looked really good. Strong performance, 6 innings. That's exactly what you're looking for from Mills, who broke off a couple nasty breaking balls, which was nice. His changeup was kind of mimicking the movement of his two-seamer. His cutter was throwing off a lot of left-handed hitters on the inside, as well as just getting to miss. So Mills looked strong. Once again, the bullpen, though, not so great. Obviously didn't cost them the game. Casey Sadler came in for an inning, allowed 1 hit, 1 earned run, 3 strikeouts to give up a solo shot. And then Kyle Ryan came in and got the hold, his second hold of the year. An inning of work, 2 hits, 1 strikeout, was able to get out of there without allowing a run. And then Ryan Tapera came in to shut down the game, allowed just 1 hit, but 2 runs on an inside pitch to Freddie Galvis, who pulled it into right field. Did get 3 strikeouts despite that home run. So a better overall performance from this bullpen, but still not so great. And we'll touch on why that is here in the second segment. But taking a look at the pitching for the Reds, Tyler Mahle, not a bad performance. 4 innings of work, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Cody Reed came in and he allowed 2 more runs. He is tacked on with the loss here today. Yesterday. And then we did get to see Pedro Strop, which was awesome. He threw 2 innings of work, or faced 2 batters, got 2 outs, walked a batter, and then was replaced by Amir Garrett, who came in to pitch again in the next inning, allowed a run. Nate Jones on the Reds, obviously a former reliever for the White Sox, he got his chance and gave up a run as well. And then Michael Lorenzen gave up 2 runs as well to finish this out. So the Cubs, the nice thing we're seeing here, at least in these games against Cincinnati, is the scoring is kind of coming throughout, as the Cubs scored at least 1 run from the 3rd inning on, scoring 2 runs in the 9th. That's what you like to see. You want to see these runs continue to come. We saw last year, it felt like the Cubs maybe would tack on two runs at the beginning of a game and then just kind of struggle and grind and hope their pitchers could just keep them alive and win like a 2-1, 3-1 game. And that's obviously not going to work in Major League Baseball every time you need to score more runs. So it's nice to see the Cubs that are doing that. But to kick off the scoring, it started in the third inning when Nico Horner, RBI machine Nico Horner, singled through the right field side after Jason Kipnis hit a triple off of Tyler Malley. The Cubs take a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the third. Bottom of the fourth, Jason Kipnis singles through right field. Jason Hayward scores after he got on with a single, and David Bodie followed that up with a single as well, moving Hayward to third. He went first to third, which was nice to see. Hayward scores. The Cubs take a 2-0 lead. Nick Castellanos in the bottom of the fourth, though, comes back and scores on a two-run shot with Jesse Winkler on base. That tied the game up at 2-2 apiece. Top of the fifth, Kyle Schwarber off of Cody Reed hits a single in the left field side after Javier Baez doubled in the center field. Baez scores. Schwarber moves up to second. Cubs take a 3-2 lead. And they would stay leading throughout that game as Nico Horner hit a fly ball sacrifice to deep center field that brought in Jason Hayward, who was able to get on base with a walk, facing Pedro Strop. The Cubs do get a run there. It's 4-2. Top of the seventh, Javier Baez smashes a fastball off of Amir Garrett, a 3-0 pitch. Kind of goes opposite field, fly ball to deep center right field. His first home run of the year, the Cubs take a 5-2 lead. David Bodie then, bottom of the seventh. He smashes a ball kind of in the same placement as Baez, center right field, Cubs up 6-2. And then Kurt Caselli facing Casey Sadler, the first batter he faced in the bottom of the eighth, takes him deep to left field, pretty much a no-doubter. Sadler pulled for Kyle Ryan. Ryan comes in and is able to induce some soft contact after a single from Phil Irvine. Gets into double play. Joey Votto, that is, bounces into a double play. Eugenio Suarez had a ground rule double that bounced on the right field side and landed into the stands, and then Christian Colon struck out looking against Kyle Ryan to end that inning. Javier Baez in the top of the ninth comes up and smashes another ball deep to center field, straight center field. Rizzo scores off of Michael Lorenz, and the Cubs up 8-3 at that point. So bottom of the ninth, it's Castellanos, Van Meter, and Arcides Aquino coming up to bat. Ryan Tapir is able to get Castellanos and Van Meter to strike out. He walks Aquino, and then Freddy Galvis on an 0-1 pitch inside just pulls it to right deep right field. He scores along with Aquino on the home run. Reds make it 8-5, but Kirk Caselli up to the plate. Tapir strikes him out. The Cubs win 8-5. So a great win. Once again, though, we're seeing the bullpen kind of struggle to keep games close, and obviously when the Cubs score 8 and 9 runs, it's not a massively big deal. But after what we saw two nights ago on Monday against the Reds, where this bullpen absolutely blew the game that John Lester had put together, essentially, it's still a little concerning. You don't want to see your bullpen give up this many runs, especially if it's just one or two here and there. But the Cubs they're not going to score 8 or 9 runs every game. So it's a concern, but something we're working towards here. On today's game, it was a normal day of rest for Willie. Contreras didn't play. It was Caratini catching Mills. And then KB sat out with some elbow injuries. I guess it was nothing super serious. Both him and Rizzo, or him and Ross, aren't concerned, but was still enough to make KB sit out and take it easy. So we did get to see Stropey for a little bit. Nice to see Pedro Strop. He didn't quite have a ton of success against the Cubs, but, you know, that's a good thing, I guess, right? But it's always nice to see Pedro Strop. I definitely miss him. I don't know how you guys feel, but I miss Strop a little bit. I don't know if I miss him on the field right now. He hasn't necessarily looked super great these last year or so, but I miss the guy in the clubhouse. So we'll be talking about the Cubs' bullpen, their starting rotation, and what Ross's thoughts are on that bullpen, as he talked to 670 to score earlier today, later on in this show. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with an inflammation-fighting compound like Arkana and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com. Promo code LOCKEDONMLB for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and why wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brands his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers and access to AutoRock.com at home in your pocket. AutoRock.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to AutoRock.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake pads to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in an easy few clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for the professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to AutoRock.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so you know who sent you. It's us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, here in this second segment, Cubs face off the Reds once again, another 5:40 start. It's Kyle Hendricks versus Sonny Gray, a rematch of the opening day starters for both teams. Maybe not a rematch, I guess, but same matchups from opening day. Sonny Gray, in his first start against the Tigers, looked great. 6 innings of work, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts. Gave up 1 home run on 90 pitches. His ERA is 1.50 on the season. Last year, absolutely dominating. In 175 pitches, or 175 innings, Sonny Gray amassed 205 strikeouts, just 68 walks, did allow 17 home runs, but a 2.87 ERA. Easily the best season he's put together since he was in an A's uniform. He kind of had the Cubs' number last year, too. He only lost one game, allowing just 2 runs last year, but won 3 out of the 5 games and had a no decision in his first start against the Cubs last year. So, Sonny Gray, super talented guy, obviously a strikeout machine, and when he's not walking guys, it's tough to hit him. So, we'll have to see. He does have an issue with the long ball, but, I mean, so do many pitchers right now after the juiced ball 2019. So, we'll have to see what happens, but Sonny Gray has had the Cubs' number. This would be a great night for the bullpen to figure things out, or if Kyle Hendricks wants to go another 9 innings, I don't think anyone would be upset. Speaking of Kyle Hendricks, obviously he's got an ERA of .00. He's the reigning NL Player of the Week after going 9 shutout innings of just 3-hit baseball and 9 strikeouts against the Brewers on opening day. He looks like an ace. Let's hope Kyle can continue to find success here. As for the bullpen, I know I've teased it a little bit here. The Cubs currently have the worst ERA in the league in terms of bullpen ERA, with a 9 ERA and 15 innings of work. That's relatively concerning. On top of that, though, the Cubs have the second best ERA for starters in baseball right now, with a 1.80 ERA in 30 innings of work. So the starting rotation, which was a massive concern coming into this season and even last season too, has looked really good. We're seeing some great performances from all our starters here, or all the Cubs starters right now, but it's the bullpen that's not quite holding up their end of the bargain. And you still aren't quite, I mean, you know who your closer is, but you're not sure if you're super confident in that closer. But Ross talked about the bullpen a lot on 670 Score, saying, you look at the totality of the team, who do you trust, who's going to pitch big innings for you? To a man, those guys, they have to show me who to trust. They have to go out and get the big outs, and those guys have to continue to build the confidence for me. And some of these guys have a track record when you come in with a little more confidence, and we know some of the young guys down there that have to establish themselves in the major leagues. He goes on to talk about how the 60-game season does, you know, obviously make it harder for you to evaluate some of this talent as easier as it would be in 162, but, you know, it just means these guys are going to have to grow and get better and take advantage of these opportunities, and if they don't, they'll have to look elsewhere. But he's got patience on his end, is what he said, Ross, to end that quote. So, yeah, I think that's about the best approach you can have, especially a first-year manager. You know, you don't know anything but 60 games, so you have to kind of figure it out as you go. But I think he has the right approach. I don't think you can necessarily just yank guys out of games. I think the way he handled Kimbrel was about as close as you could do it to, you know, I guess not perfection, but correctly might be the way to say that. I mean, if he's your closer and you're going to go in and yank him out early, you know, that's not going to bode well for you in the future if that guy is somebody you want to lean on. So you got to give him the opportunities, and that's kind of what he's doing. Ross is going to have to feel out. I'm sure there's going to be moments where we're all kind of kicking ourselves when we saw a guy like Kimbrel or maybe Jeremy Jeffress or whoever it may be, Ryan Tapiro, someone like that who struggles continuously and Ross has to keep going to him for a moment. That those are things we're just going to probably have to deal with because in all actuality, like Ross doesn't really know who he can trust. He's trying to figure that out. And I'm sure, like he said, there's guys with, you know, established backgrounds, but that doesn't necessarily mean you stick with them because. So I like the approach. I think you're going to have to give these guys a little bit of a leash, figure out where they're at. Some of these guys are still working, not necessarily into game shape, but to where they wanted to be or where they were maybe when spring training started. You've got to give them the opportunity. So we will have to see. Nico Horner has been really solid. He had kind of a rough series against the Brewers in those first couple of games, but since then, he's collected 5 hits. He's got 3 RBIs. He's tied for the team lead right now, which, you know, doesn't necessarily mean a ton right now, but he's batting 357 with a 333 on base percentage, a 429 slugging. Has yet to take any walks, only has 1 strikeout, though, and that's great. He's still been very aggressive in accounts, and it's working out to his advantage at the moment. I'd like to see him work deeper in accounts, but he is swinging a lot at like 1-2 counts, 2-1 counts, and I think that just kind of shows. At first, I was frustrated, but I think it just shows the progression of Nico Horner. He's very confident at the plate, and I don't think you want to take that away from him, but very encouraging to see the numbers come out here so far, so I hope that keeps building. And then the Cubs are reportedly hitting the ball just as hard as about anyone in baseball right now. Currently, they have the 5th highest exit velocity at the moment. And they're tied with, I believe it was like the Pirates and Astros at the moment. But the only teams hitting harder the ball harder right now are the Dodgers, Phillies, Red Sox, and Padres. So that's great. And then you look at the standings right now. The Cubs are technically tied for the best record in baseball and have a game and a half lead in their division. By 5 games, but still, this is good to see. This is about as great as a start as you could hope for this season. But now we have to worry about is the season going to continue? As the MLB reported that they have postponed all the Marlins games through Sunday. They will not play again until Monday. The Marlins' recent opponent, the Phillies, will not play again until Friday, and their next opponents for both clubs will be the Yankees and then Orioles. So they're going to figure out the scheduling issue from this, but they're apparently taking an abundance of caution, whatever that means exactly, to figure this out. I don't know. Manfred said he wouldn't qualify. I wouldn't put this in the nightmare categories, what he talked about in terms of the 11 players testing positive for the Marlins and then 4 more testing the next day. This is why they brought the 60-man roster and why they've increased rosters for the moment. Now you kind of have to wonder, will the Marlins come back to Miami? Will they keep playing in Florida? Obviously, cases in Florida continue to rise. They're rising everywhere at the moment, but very specifically, hot zones in Florida, Arizona, good amount of places on the East Coast right now. And then you have to wonder, like, is this how quickly the virus will spread when it does infect a team? Because this is probably going to happen again. It's not like these guys aren't not following these procedures. Now, maybe they are, and we just haven't quite heard of that, but at least for a team like the Cubs, they obviously are taking this very seriously. As Hap talked about yesterday or 2 days ago about how they were in constant communication with the Reds before that game, getting all their test results. So I saw someone tweet something at me yesterday about sharing an article or sharing my tweet on Twitter about our episode mentioning the outbreak of the Marlins. They were saying, like, the Reds have problems. Well, yeah, the Reds have Matt Davidson on the IL right now because of COVID issues, but you know, we don't really know for sure if Moustakas or Senzel, two guys that sat out on Sunday and haven't played since, are quite dealing with that. We'll have to see. But, you know, at least the Cubs have all these testing results from that entire roster or Red squad. And that has to make them feel at least a little more comfortable being able to step on that field. But that should probably start to become the norm. I think these standards should be put in place. And baseball is very much a league that learns from mistakes. That does not make this okay, but I'm not confident necessarily they'll get this figured out. I'm hopeful they will. So, cautiously optimistic about the outcome of this still. It sounds like things are trending in the right direction, but, you know, all it takes is someone to get sick again on another team and, you know, you're back at square one. So, let's hope that doesn't happen. That will do it here for today's episode of Lockdown Cubs. Remember to get this show every day. You need to subscribe to Lockdown Cubs on whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, And then make sure you check out the latest episode of Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB after this episode of Locked On Cubs. And then you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Thanks for tuning into your guys' daily Cubs podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, go Cubs.